Welcome and Saba blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening later on recording, Saba blessing everyone on the Sabbath, January 11th. Oops, I supposed to change that, 2025. This is our review lesson, dear ones, of our chapter 83, part 3, entitled The Walk to Emmaus, of our lesson 425. We will ask our dear brother once more to share the tiny talk hymn of our theme, I'd Rather Have Jesus.
January 11 of 24. I thought maybe you were starting over. Okay. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world provides today. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. We are going to ask the little ones, by the help of their parents or elder sibling, to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Our blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the silent day. Keep it the silent day and keep it holy. 6 days, start our labor and do all thy work. In the 7th day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the people who's in the Sabbath, who's not in the Sabbath. Please protect the people who's sick and can't join the Sabbath, and the people who's not sick and join the Sabbath, and the little ones who learn new things. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.
Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, little sister. And now it's time for us to hear all the blessings that the little one has been in their household or any area of their life. If you would like to share their ones, may you unmute your mic.
I have blessings, dear ones. For mommies and daddies, little blessings for this week, would like to highlight Haley and Emma. Would like to thank God for them for always willing to wanting to help. Haley, this morning as she was wanting to make a healthy breakfast, her sister and each other got up and actually had cut up fruits and vegetables and think that, and it's just in their minds and heart to want to eat healthy. I wonder what healthy in their minds are, but they equated it with eating well, and so that's a blessing. You don't hear many little kids wanting to eat fruits and vegetables on their own. The parents usually have to force them to do so, but they had a series of fruits, of grapes, of blueberries, of apples, and that was a blessing, and carrots. And they were able to get up and shred it themselves and peel it themselves and were able to partake of it. So thank God for His love and mercies for giving them that bit of independence and the blessing of wanting to eat to nourish their vessel for the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any other members of the family or anyone that would like to be able to share? Otherwise, we are going to continue. It is story time of our review, dear one. So let's have a listening ear. For dear brother, we'll be able to share our part 5 review of our chapter 22 entitled Condemned by Pilate in a Story of Jesus lesson book.
Well, this week, I'll tell you, I have been immersed in this story because I just finished listening to the audio of Desire of Ages and what we're going over today, the book deals with in last chapters. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from John 19 and Matthew 27. And from henceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Now, they hated Caesar, but they were using him as a diversion to get Pilate to kill Jesus. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult or a riot was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it," as if washing his hands would wash away his guilt. Pilate tried hard to release the Savior, but the Jews cried out, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar," John 19:12. This was touching Pilate in a weak place. He was already under suspicion by the Roman government, and he knew that a report of this kind would be his ruin. In other words, if he wasn't reporting that there was another king trying to take over, they'd remove him from his position. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that a tumult or a riot was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it." Next slide, please. In vain, Pilate tried to free himself from the guilt of condemning Jesus. Had he acted promptly and firmly at the first, carrying out his convictions of right, he his will would not have been overborne by the mob. They would have not presumed, they would not have presumed, to dictate to him and told him what to do. His wavering and indecision proved his ruin. He saw that he could not release Jesus and yet retain his own position and honor. Rather than lose his worldly power, he chose to sacrifice an innocent life. And unfortunately for him, it was the life of the Son of God. Yielding to the demands of the mob, he again scourged Jesus. You realize he whipped him twice? How could you re-whip a man that was already whipped and bleeding? Wow, talk about cruelty. Let's see. And he delivered him to be crucified. But in spite of his precautions, the very thing he dreaded afterward came upon him. His honors were stripped from him. He was cast down from his high place as governor and stung by remorse and wounded pride. Not long after the crucifixion, he ended his life. We would say he committed suicide. This is taken from The Story of Jesus by Ellen White, page 137.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next week, we will continue with part 6 of our lesson entitled Condemned by Pilate in our Tiny Thought lesson book, The Story of Jesus. And that will take place January 18, 2025. We are going to hand it back to our dear brother so he can share the question.
All right. Pilate tried hard to do what?
The answer to number one is to release the Savior.
Yes, he tried after he whipped him. He said, I find no fault in this man. He's innocent, and then he whipped him. He shouldn't have ever done that. Having done that, he started down a path he could not return from. What did his wavering and indecision do?
The indecision number two is that it provided him, proved his ruin.
It proved his ruin for eternity. It probably didn't cause him to lose his job. That was something else. But he lost his soul, which was even worse. Rather than lose his worldly power, what did Pilate choose?
The answer to number three is he chose to sacrifice an innocent life.
He chose to sacrifice an innocent life, and like I said, it was the life of the Son of God, and that didn't go over well in the courts of heaven. Oh, here's a bonus question. Fill in the blank. Who was the innocent one?
Jesus Christ our Lord.
That's right. Jesus Christ our Lord was the innocent one. And his sacrifice bought our salvation. Let's don't turn our backs on it. Back to you, Rose.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. So it is time for our Tiny Talks and parents and also our guests to have a review of God's creation through nature of our topic, Moments of the Bible Review. And our dear brother will be the one to share.
Sad lessons, everyone. In today's lesson, we'll be reviewing the spiritual lesson from last week. Our Bible verse for our lesson review is taken from the book, A Soldier and a Widow. In, is in Luke chapter 7, verses 6 to 8 says, "Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, He come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it." We review this spiritual insight before the nature lesson of number 3, a camel's body. In the memory verse, the entire study is Matthew 8:8, King James Version. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, and speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Then Jesus went with them. And the character quality of the story is trustfulness versus mistrust. Trustfulness is a confidence in God to direct all matters of your and one's life. Say in a word. Jesus immediately set out for the officers' home, but pressed by the multitude, he advanced slowly. The news of his coming preceded him, and the centurion, in his self-distress, sent him the message, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof." But the Savior kept on his way, and the centurion ventured at last to approach him, clear the message, saying, "Neither thought I of myself worthy to come unto thee, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. From a man under authority, having been soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he comes, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it." As I represent the power of Rome, and my soldiers recognize my authority as supreme, so dost thou represent the power of the infinite God, and all created things obey thy word. Thou canst command the disease to depart, and it shall obey thee. Thou canst summon thy heavenly messengers, and they shall impart healing virtue. Speak but the word, and my servant shall be healed. The Desire of Ages, page 216. The centurion's words are a beautiful example of trust. It says again what he said to ask to Jesus, "Speak but the word, and my servant shall be healed." Amen. It says in this rectangle, say in a word. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Matthew 8:8. And next is a picture of a sword, and under the sword is saying, read Hebrews 4 verse 12. And in this picture is a llama and a vicuña, two members of the camel family. And above of them says, the camel family is larger than you may realize. It includes mammals that we do not recognize as camels. Did you know that llamas and other animals without humps are also part of the camel family? There are also the alpaca, the guanaco, and the vicuña, which belong to this family. And in this picture with a camel, it says above a camel's body. And next to the camel picture, it says, it has been said that a dromedary camel looks like it was made of leftover parts from several other animals. But God knew exactly how to make the camel and provided it with all the perfect body parts for living in a hot, sandy desert. Three A bonus questions are for the study, which you'll find in the Bible and in the study book. Review. Question one is, did Jesus go to Jewish elders? The answer is in Luke 7:6. Question two, what did the centurion do? Yeah, just in Luke 7, also in Luke 7, 6. 3, what did the centurion say? The answer is in Luke 7, 6 to 8. And I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little ones, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room and those that are listening in other devices and later on recording. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Pass Me Not, and you will find it in the hymn book in number 559. If you would like to share the hymn with us, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Let me at thy throne of mercy. Find a sweet relief. Kneel in different deep contrition. Help my unbelief. Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Trusting only in thy mercy, in thy merit, would I seek thy faith. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior,
Savior, hear my humble cry. Well, on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Thank you so much, dear ones. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open our review section of our family study with prayer, may you make your mind to do so, dear ones.
God blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. And please protect us. Please protect me and my and the Sabbath. Please protect the way that we're going to be learning. And please protect everybody today now. And Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Scripture Song Singer in the section Pillar of Our Faith. It's Psalms 119, verses 105 and 103 margin.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105, and verse 103, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Thy
So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear all the answer to the question, we are taking a few minutes to read part one of our part three of our lesson entitled The Walk to Emmaus in our study book, The Desired Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Continuing, during the journey, the sun had gone down. And before the travelers reached their place of rest, had left the laborers in the fields, had left their work as the disciples were about to enter their home, the stranger appeared as though he would continue his journey. Next slide, please. Continuing, but the disciples felt drawn to him. Their souls hungered to hear more from him. Abide with us, they said. He did not seem to accept the invitation, but they pressed it upon him, urging, "It is toward evening and the day is far spent." Christ yielded to the entry and went
this entreaty
and went in the tarry with them. Desire of Ages, page 800, verse 2.
Paragraph 2. Had the disciples failed to press their invitation, they would not have known that their traveling companion was the risen Lord. Christ never forces his company upon anyone. He entrusts himself to those who need him. Gladly will he enter the humblest home. and cheer at the lowliest heart. Next slide, please. And we'll bubble down and cheer.
Next slide, Desire of Ages. Page 100, 800. Come on.
But if
come closer,
men are too
indifferent
to think of the holy
of the heavenly
guest. He
or on the next
or ask him to
abide
with wisdom he pleased on he pressed
P-A-S-S-E-S.
Press.
Past.
Past.
Passes on.
On. This great loss.
You're skipping over sentences. We're starting over. Continuing. But if men are too indifferent to think of the heavenly guest or ask him to abide with them, he passes on. Thus many meet with great loss. They do not know Christ any more than did the disciples as he walked with them by the way. Desire of Ages, page 800, paragraph 3.
Desire of Ages. No, go ahead.
All right, thank you. The simplest evening meal bread is soon prepared. It is placed before the guest who has taken his seat at the head of the table. How he puts forth his hands to bless the food. The disciple starts back in astonishment. Their companion spreads forth his hand in exactly the same way as their master used to do. They look again and lo, they see his hands, the print of nails. Both exclaim at once, it is the Lord Jesus. He has risen from the dead. Desire of Ages, page 800, paragraph 1.
The Desire of Ages, page 801. They rise to cast themselves at his feet and worship him, but he has vanished out of their sight. They looked at the place which had been occupied by one whose body had lately lain in the grave, and say to each other, do not our heart burn within us while he taught us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Sorry, of Ages, page 801, paragraph 1.
Desire of Ages, page 801. But with this great news to communicate, they cannot sit and talk. Their weariness and hunger are gone. They leave their meal untasted and full of joy immediately set out again on the same path by which they came, hurrying to tell the tidings to the disciples in the city. In some parts, the road is not safe. But they climb over the steep places, slipping on the smooth rocks. Next slide, please.
And continuing. They do not see, they do not know, that they have the protection of him who has traveled the road with them. With their pilgrim staff in hand, they press on, desiring to go faster than they dare. They lose their track, but find it again. Sometimes running, sometimes stumbling, they press forward. Their unseen companion close beside them all the way. The Desire of Ages, 801, paragraph 2.
The night is dark. The sun of righteousness is shining upon them. Their hearts leap for joy. They seem to be in a new world. Christ is a living Savior. They no longer mourn over him as dead. Christ is risen. Over and over again, they repeat it. Next slide, please.
The Desire of Ages, page 801. Continuing, this is the message they are carrying to the sorrowing ones. They must tell them the wonderful story of the walk to Emmaus. They must tell who joined them by the way they carried great messages. The greatest messages ever. The greatest message ever given to the world. The message of glad tidings upon which hopes of the human family for time and the eternity and for the eternity depended.
Depend.
The Desire of Ages, page 100, paragraph 3.
Page 801, paragraph 3. Amen.
Good job, everyone. So what have we learned in ways we have grown, dear ones? We are going to now remember this particular verse for the beginning of answering all of the questions. Taken from 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. For those that are not able to see the screen, we are going to read the questions. And if you are moved to be able to share, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And our last question is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to type it in the room, dear ones. Otherwise, you can use your mic. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones?
The main characters was Jesus and the disciples. They were walking to Emmaus.
Number two, what is the main idea of this section of the story is that the two disciples were walking home after the events of the day or of the weeks, whatever it was going on. And they did not realize, well, they had a stranger that was walking with them throughout the way. And at the end, it was revealed that it was Christ.
Number three, where did the story take place? The story takes place in Emmaus, where Jesus was taken with the disciples.
Number four, when did the story begin? This story, section of the story began after the resurrection of Christ, when folks are starting to disperse and go back to their places where they live. And we saw that these two disciples in particular were walking home to Emmaus. Number five, how could you relate to this story? There was a part in this section of the story where they had reached home and they entreated the stranger to stay with them. And their, unbeknownst to them, it was their risen Savior. And they were so elated that they were no longer hungry. They were no longer tired from that walk that they were taking, that they went back out to share the good tidings, the message. And I could relate to that. When I first got the Sabbath truth and the understanding of what the Sabbath, when the Sabbath day was, because I had taken it by faith. But when the Lord had impressed upon my mind, and I'll never forget that Sabbath, when I was studying, and it could have been seen that something was amiss, but the Lord kept on giving me scriptures and I kept on relating them. And so my mom, she realized that I was struggling with the actual date. And so we went into study. And that day, it was like a light bulb went off in my head, but I didn't know that was the working of the Holy Spirit at the time, impressing upon my heart what was there. And that day when it was revealed to me, it felt as if I won. I was a millionaire. I remember that feeling, just the joy that I had in my heart. And I wanted to evangelize it, the truth about the Sabbath. And I remember just getting deeper into it and just taking it and sharing it to everyone, sending out messages to my friends and family, even if they didn't understand. But it was like if I had won $1 million and I needed to share it. And so I could relate to that when the Lord, when they found out that it was indeed their risen Savior, how they couldn't contain it. They had to go and share. And that was a blessing to me. And that is how I can relate to the story.
Praise the Lord. And who would like to share the answer to number 61?
What did you learn from this lesson? I think we started to embark on that before, but to always keep in mind that when we think that we are alone, just when we think that we're going through something that is so difficult and we are doubtful and despondent, that though we may not be able to see it, but the very thing that we have learned from the beginning, the Word of God is true, that the Holy Spirit, our heavenly angel, our Lord Jesus Christ, is walking with us, never leaving us, even though in our bodies, in our flesh, we feel that very thing because our eyes cannot see it. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So that is what I am learning from this particular lesson. Those disciples were despondent and doubtful. How could these things be? How could this be? But while they were walking and talking about it, the Lord didn't forsake them. He was right next to them, even in their doubt. And that's the same thing that he does for us day by day. So that is uplifting to my spirit. And I pray that it will continue to press upon not just me, but each and every one of us to know that no matter how much we think that he is not there, he is right there.
Does anybody else would like to share? I also have learned in this particular number six that how the scriptures are fulfilling. Even after when he was risen, he says that he's always near to those that are broken in spirit. And as they was speaking on their way, there was also very much alarm for the way how the result of the events was. And it's such a merciful Savior to not only come and to explain, but to raise them from where they were, what they knew and what it really meant now, and how they went out to be able to glorify the risen Savior and to remove that dead feeling that they had of loss. Now it became a message of hope where the Savior will be even more with them because he was in the human form. And when he went up to heaven and he said he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be able to be our companion, to be able to teach us, he can be in more places, no matter where we are, no matter what circumstances is happening in our life. He said that he was going to be with us, and that is such a blessing for all of us, especially today. As things are getting nearer, and as you speak more and more about the things of God, he will draw near. The key is they were speaking about Jesus. It's the same thing that when the shepherds were minding their sheep when he was born, as they were talking about events and they were speaking about Jesus, they allow the angels to draw. So if we want to be able to draw Christ near, we have to lift him up in order for him to be able to draw closer to us. Who would like to be able to share? Megami.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister, and others for their comments. One thing that stands out to me is that the two disciples on the road to Emmaus were talking of their doubts and their fears that with the death of Jesus, there was no hope. That they thought Jesus was the Messiah and he died, so the whole idea of Christ being the Messiah to save them and the world sort of was dying with them. And it was at that very point that Christ drew near. And when they stopped thinking about their doubts and focused upon the scriptures, that's when light began to flood their heart and remove from them their fear, remove from them their doubt, and take away that whole depressed, downcast feeling. So when we go through trials and tribulations and we think that we've been forsaken, we need to remember this, that Christ is right there with us, leading us to the scriptures, where we find the hope, where we find the courage, where we find the comfort that removes the doubt, removes the fear, removes the downcast feeling, and rejuvenates us. So at our lowest, when we think no one is there, Christ is there. Just like that footprints in the sand, you know, Christ is there, even to the point of carrying us. So we're not forsaken. The Lord is even closer to us when we're going through those hard times.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear family, and welcome to all of the dear remnants that are coming in. We have thoughts and poems and also special music. Our talk is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy book entitled The Great Controversy in chapter 19 entitled The Light Through Darkness. Our opening scripture was taken from 1 Peter 1:25, which read, "But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto us." And who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute.
Thus, the death of Christ, the very event which the disciples had looked upon as the final destruction of their hope, was that which made it forever sure. While it had brought them a cruel disappointment, it was the climax of proof that their belief had been correct. The event that had filled them with mourning and despair was that which opened the door of hope to every child of Adam, and in which centered the center, the future life, and eternal happiness of all God's faithful ones in all the ages. Great Controversy, page 348, paragraph 1.
God bless everyone. Continue the reading. Purpose of infinite mercy was marched their fulfillment. Reached their fulfillment. Even though the disappointment of the disciple, while their heart had been won by the divine grace and power of his teaching, who spake as never man spake, yet intermingle with the pure goal and their love, the pure goal of their love for the Jesus, was the base allow of worldly pride and selfish ambitions. Even in the Passover chambers, at that solemn hour, when their master was already entering the shadow of Gethsemane, there was a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Amen.
Luke 22-24.
If looking up, thy God is still the same today.
Their vision was filled with the throne, the crown, and the glory, while just before them lay the shame and agony of the garden, the judgment hall, and the cross of Calvary. It was their pride of heart, their thirst for worldly glory, that led them to cling so tenaciously to the false teaching of their time, and to pass unheeded the Savior's words showing the true nature of his kingdom, and pointing forward to his agony and death. And these errors resulted in the trial, sharp but needful, which was permitted for their correction.
Though the disciples had mistaken the meaning of their message and had failed to realize their expectations, yet they had preached the warning given them of God. And the Lord would reward their faith and honor their obedience. To them was to be entrusted the work of heralding to all nations the glorious gospel of their risen Lord. It was to prepare them for this work that the experience which seemed to them so bitter had been permitted. The Great Controversy, page 348, paragraph 2. Continue on the next slide, please.
After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples on the way to Emmaus, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24:27. The hearts of the disciples were stirred. Faith was kindled. They were begotten again unto a lively hope even before Jesus revealed himself to them. It was his purpose to enlighten their understanding and fasten their faith upon the the sure word of the prophecy. He wished the truth to take firm root in their minds, not merely because it was supported by his personal testimony, but because of the unquestionable evidence presented by the symbols and shadows of the typical law and the prophecies of the Old Testament. It was needful for the followers of Christ to have an intelligent faith, not only in their own behalf, but that they might carry the knowledge of Christ to the world. And as a very first step in imparting this knowledge, Jesus directed the disciples to Moses and all the prophets. Such was the testimony given by the risen Savior to the value and importance of the Old Testament scriptures. The Great Controversy, page 349, paragraph 1.
What a change was wrought in the hearts of the disciples as they looked once more on the loved countenance of their master, Luke 24:32. In a more complete and perfect sense than ever before, they had found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. The uncertainty, the anguish, the despair gave place to perfect assurance, to unclouded faith. What marvel that after his ascension, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. The people, knowing only of the Savior's ignominious death, looked to see in their faces the expression of sorrow, confusion, and defeat, but they saw there gladness and triumph. What a preparation these disciples had received for the work before them. They had passed through the deepest trial which it was possible for them to experience, and had seen how, when to human vision all was lost, the Word of God had been triumphantly accomplished. Henceforth, what could daunt their faith or chill the ardor of their love? In the keenest sorrow, they had strong consolation, a hope which was an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Hebrews 6:8-18-19. They had been witness to the wisdom and power of God, and they were persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature would be able to separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In all these things, they said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:38-37. The word of the Lord endureth forever. 1 Peter 1:25. And who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Romans 8:34, The Great Controversy, page 348, paragraph 2. Amen.
Dear Brother Dick, would you like to do the reflection?
I'll do reflection. What is more worth to engross the mind than the plan of redemption is a subject that is exhaustless. The love of Jesus, the salvation offered to fallen man through his infinite love, holiness of heart, the precious saving for these last days, the grace of Jesus Christ These are subjects which may animate the soul and cause the pure heart to feel that joy that the disciples felt when Jesus came and walked with them as they traveled toward Emmaus. He who has entered his affections upon Christ will relish this kind of hallowed association, will gather divine strength by such intercourse. When the truth of God is an abiding principle in the heart, it will be like a living spring. Attempts may be made to repress it, but it will gush forth in another place. It is there and cannot be headed off. The truth in the heart is a wellspring of life. It refreshes the weary, restrains the vile thought and utterance, and makes all flourish. Their happiness will be in Jesus and his love. Mile Today, pages 270, paragraph 3.
Jesus knew that whatever was presented that was out of harmony with what he came to urge to unfold was false and delusive. But he said, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Having stood in the councils of God, having dwelt in everlasting heights of the sanctuary, all elements of truth were in him and of him, for he was one with God. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you any earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him, and thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." The Review and Herald, December 1st, 1891. The Foundations of Christians Education, page 190, paragraph 1.
Amen. What a blessed hope and promises, dear one. And we have a poem. It's entitled The Christian Trust. This is taken from Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 5, page 120, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take one of the verses there, one? May you unmute your mic?
Number 1. 'Tis said that once a dying girl who on the sea coast dwelt was asked what she of Jesus thought as death approach she felt. How beautiful and how sublime answer to receive. Jesus, as limpets to the rocks, so unto him I cleave.
Oh, may we on the living rock with hearts as firm abide, and cling, the rougher beats the storm, the closer to his side. Then will our faith and hope grow bright, though earthly scenes grow dim, for he will never those forsake who put their trust in him.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I can't see it all the way down. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 35.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. And now we are going to hear the special music.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Or curse, persecution, or famine?
Well, dear ones, if you do have any testimonies that you would like to share, we could be able to do so between the services or even after the services, dear one. So we are going to continue. And next Sabbath, by God's grace, we're going to have a new chapter. We will begin a chapter entitled Peace Be Unto You in our study book, The Desired Ages. If any one of the Dear Remnant family or guests or little ones would like to close our review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads on our knees. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most unholy name. We thank you, dear Father Jesus, for this blessed Sabbath. We thank you for once more gathering us and bringing us safely through another week so that we can worship and learn of you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the lessons learned. We thank you, Father Jesus, that we are comforted to know that you will be with us on the roads, especially the roads that we have to travel as Christians. There's so many different ones. But we thank you, Father Jesus, that you will be there. And I pray that you give us the strength to know and understand that you are there with us. Thank you, Father Jesus, for all the little ones and their participation. May you continuously bless and keep them. Be with their families and their parents as well. Be with us as we move to the other sections of the studies. We continuously ask for your mercy and grace and the Holy Spirit to teach us into all truth as we go into the next section. Please be with the speaker. Continuously bless and keep him. I pray in no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, that will be January the 18th, 2025, we will have a new chapter, chapter 84, entitled Peace Be Unto You, and that will be lesson 426. Leaving a quote from the scripture and also a little passage from Lift Them Up, page 100, paragraph 2. And the scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 21 from the King James Version, and it reads, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and became the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." And from our quote, "The time had come for Christ to ascend to his Father's throne. As a divine conqueror, he was about to return with the trophies of victory to the heavenly courts. Before his death, he had declared to his Father, 'I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do.'" John 17:4. After his resurrection, he tarried on earth for a season that his disciples might become familiar with him in his risen and glorified body. Now he was ready for the leave taken. He had authenticated the fact that he was a living savior. His disciple needed no longer associate with the tomb. They could think of him as glorified before the heavenly universe. Our savior is risen, dear ones. And he is in the most holy place. And we are so grateful that we can be able to come boldly to the throne of grace with nobody in between. We can come and speak to him. And we can tell him anything that we would like to tell him. For he is our compassionate Savior and Redeemer. May y'all have a blessed rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. And God bless. Have a blessed Sabbath.